When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get.
They can help you find work in any industry. With just one interview at Express, you have a connection to endless jobs.
Whether you want a contract job, a new full-time role, or a summer job, choose Express Employment Professionals.
Express has more than 860 locally owned locations and no fees for job seekers.
Visit expresspros.com today to find a location near you.
So you guys, I've discovered a podcast. Is it okay to talk about another podcast on our podcast?
I say no.
Okay. Oh, I mean, oh. No.
I mean yes. No.
Yeah.
There's sure. This amazing podcast that I've become obsessed with, and it makes a perfect companion piece to our podcast, I believe.
Mm.
It's called 60 Songs That Explain the 90s.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's this great music journalist named Rob Harvilla, and he... Basically, every episode, he picks one song from the 90s. I mean, it's everything you like, you know, top hits from, and not only like goes into the, you know, the song and the meaning and why it was written, but also the whole history of the band. So, you know, it becomes an opportunity. Like, for instance, you know, I knew the song Hey Jealousy by Gin Blossoms. Right?
Of course, great song.
Great song. I had no idea anything about why that was written or the tragedy of the band.
Oh, yeah, it was the guitarist. Wasn't it the guitarist that wrote it and the guy who wrote that and their other two hits killed himself?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, like a lot of things in the music, like the music industry, especially in the 90s, there's a lot of drugs, a lot of depression, but anyway, for anybody who grew up in the 90s or who was listening to music, and especially because, you know, we've talked about before, like in relation to our show, it was still like a monoculture, right? So everybody was listening to the same songs. Everybody was talking about the same songs. And so it's really interesting to dive into these, the backstories. And he's just a very funny, witty writer. He usually has guests on. And they just break down. Like, I didn't know anything about Oasis, for instance. It was like one of those things I just completely missed. You know, I didn't know the story of the brothers and this history. Like, I knew some of the songs, of course. So like I went and listened to the Wonderwall episode and it just blew my mind. Like hearing the backstory.
There's a great documentary about Oasis that's out right now. That's like 2 hours long. It's pretty phenomenal about their rise to fame and then how they broke up. And it was like the brothers don't speak anymore. It was over like clothes.
Yes.
It was. So yeah.
Jensen and I were just talking about songs that you don't really know the meaning of. And then you go back and re-listen to them and you're like, whoa, that's what that was about. Like, remember the song Closing Time?
Of course.
Yeah, of course. Okay. It became like every bar.
Okay, right. And that's what you think it's about, right? It's actually about watching the birth of his child.
What?
Wow. And okay.
The baby is out. You can't stay here. You have to go home. And there's you re-listen to it. There is a lyric that says,
awesome. But it's amazing. But he has calculated also, because like, I love that like every couple of years, there's just a song about like drinking or bars.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like so smart.
Like,
it's like writing Christmas songs because it's like, it's always going to have a place.
Exactly.
There was like 5 years where you couldn't go to a bar until like at 2 a.m. they would just play Closing. And you'd be like, oh, man.
The birth of your child. Wow.
Or Do you remember the song? Shots.
Oh, my
shots,
God.
Shots.
Oh, God. I'm going to go on record and say that is in my top 10 favorite songs of all time.
No.
Really? It's a terrible song.
It is amazing. How dare you? How dare you say it is a terrible song? It is incredible.
The worst song ever.
Incredible. I absolutely love it. But it was a song that I ran to. And that, so if you just think about it as being like, you know, it's the right beats per minute to like get you going while you're running.
Right.
That's one of the reasons I loved
it.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Except for those of us who are younger than Eye of the Tiger.
Tiger, sorry. Yeah, exactly. That's my 70s running song, Eye of the Tiger. Thank you, Danielle.
If you want to do an episode that is like you're talking about, Danielle, where you discover what it's really about and so disturbing, is Crash Into Me by Dave Matthews.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which is like a beautiful song.
It's a great song.
It's like
song.
One of those songs you can't help but just like, oh. And like, you know, I was just the right age, 16 or whatever. But when you listen to the 60 songs that explain the 90s episodes, and they don't have to go very deep. You just actually listen to what he is saying. It is the most disturbing song.
It's horrible,
so sexual.
But
it's
great.
But it's a beautiful song. You kind of can't.
Now,
deny
do you think
it.
This guy on his podcast is sitting there going, "So I found the greatest podcast in the world. That
it's
is a perfect companion. It's called
Pod Meets World.
Is that a thing? Also, Hit Me Baby One More Time apparently was a double entendre. That also had sexual undertones. I was not aware.
You guys, look at my shirt.
Yes,
too much shirts.
I'm wearing my too much shirts. Ryder, I have your shirts. I have a shirt for Indy. It's an extra small. I hope it fits him. It may be very stylishly oversized.
Well, that's perfect.
I have all of your shirts.
XXL, great.
Yes, of course. You're a beast.
Growing up, I was just called Husky, so that will work. Yes, I have the Husky size.
I'm really excited about it. So I love my Too Much Shirts shirt. It's the only one I've worn. I'm wearing it today. I also got the Hold the Plane for Minka shirt, but I haven't worn it yet. But all of you can get your shirts as well at podmeetsworldshow.com. So
merch.
Please go check out the merch.
Also, just very quickly, Danielle, I was in Boston at Comic-Con this weekend, and there was a plethora of Pod Meets World shirts. They were everywhere. It was awesome. It was so cool to see people out rocking their Pod Meets World shirts. It was great. It was really, really cool.
I haven't seen one in the wild yet.
They're out there. And I asked, just for the record, I asked everybody that I met, and there was a number of people. I mean, tons of people came up and said they were listening to the podcast. I said, are we ruining your childhood for you? And every single one said,
I love that that's where you went.
No, I had to. I was like, are we doing anything that's ruining your experience? And they're like, no, it's awesome. We love the inside stuff. Keep it up because this is totally cool. It's enhancing the show. I was like, okay, good. I felt good about that.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, that makes us feel good. I also wanted to give you guys just, you know, we get thousands of emails, and some of them, most of them, are really incredible, and we love reading them. Unfortunately, because we get so many of them, it would be impossible for us to write you all back or acknowledge you, but it doesn't mean that we're not reading them, and it doesn't mean that they're not special. So I did just want to give a couple of little shout outs to people, like a shout out to Deanna C, who used Boy Meets World as a way to get through her hard childhood, and she saw the show as an escape. I want to give a shout out to Becky O, who is a high school teacher who starts her classes every year with the episode Teacher's Vet. Isn't that cool?
Wow, cool.
Yeah, she says it gets some cringes, but starts some really good conversations, too. And she said this year the podcast recap actually really lines up with her back to school time. So it was perfect. So now they get to listen to both. And then I thought this story was so amazing. Shout out to Katie H., who herself actually works on Righteous Gemstones. And she Zooms with her childhood best friend every single week. They originally met in study hall, and Boy Meets World in 1993 was the thing that bonded them and made them friends.
Yes.
And now, so they used to watch the episode together every week and then talk about it. And now, 30 years later, they Zoom every week to talk about this podcast.
Yes. Oh, that's awesome.
They should start their own podcast about our podcast.
About our podcast, yeah.
And their friendship. So and how we are just keeping them friends. What if they have nothing else in common? What if it's just us?
That's it. That's all they've got. Oh, man, that's so funny. That's
great. Isn't that funny?
That's
cool.
So
welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fishel.
I'm Ryder Strong.
And I'm Will Friedle.
And we are edging closer to our first ever live show as Pod Meets World goes on the road to San Diego at the Magnolia on October 22nd.
How many layers of shirts do you two plan on wearing?
Not counting vests or hoods, I'm gonna aim for four.
That's impressive. Ooh, that's impressive. I'm gonna try to outdo you and go for five then.
Oh man, I'm gonna be outnumbered. Well, we're gonna record a part of the podcast, talk about specific episodes with audience members, perform a scene with one lucky listener, and we will have a special guest.
Plays with squirrels?
Yes, he will actually be there. But this time I was talking about someone else.
And VIP packages will get you a meet and greet and a photo and autographs.
Tickets are available now at Ticketmaster.com for Pod Meets World at the Magnolia in San Diego, El Cajon on October 22nd. Don't miss out. It's going to be, yes, I'm bringing this phrase back, the cat's pajamas.
I am so excited. We are all so excited about today's guest. She is America's mom. She is one of the most incredible women actors. She's a mom in her own right. She's a wife. She is absolutely wonderful. And so please welcome to the podcast, Betsy Randall.
Betsy, my TV mom.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kids screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandy shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fishel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Bouqs.com, promo code WORLD.
Bouqs, promo code WORLD.
There you
are! Hi, guys!
Betsy!
Hi, Betsy!
You are... How are you even more gorgeous than the last time I saw you?
Well, I worked on it this morning. I fluffed, and I'm getting my 80s hair back, my home improvement hair.
Oh, man, I can't wait to talk to you about your home improvement hair.
Yeah, well, it was a dig and you know, got me this job. Okay, so I'm joking around. Are we okay?
Yes!
We're great.
You all look beautiful to me.
Oh, I miss your face.
I'm going to cry already.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Okay, so to give everyone a little bit of a, I mean, not that she needs really any introduction, but she played Amy Matthews, the matriarch of the house, for 158 episodes of Boy Meets World, the wife of Alan, the mother of Corey, Eric, Morgan, and eventually Joshua.
Couple Morgans.
Yeah, a couple Morgans.
A couple Morgans.
He was on the milk bottle, remember? We had
I forgot about that.
We did.
Wait, tell that story. Please tell that story.
Okay, I'll interrupt you. Well, the funny thing is that I'm friends with what's her name now? The original.
Lily.
You're very close.
She's not that close, but I have seen her in play. She's a magnificent actress.
Yes, she is.
So... The crafts, not the craft services, but the tech guys that, you know,
the props guys, yeah.
You know, just provided us with a milk carton with a picture of Lily on there and saying, if you've seen this child, please.
We actually shoot with that milk carton on the table?
You know, they did. It's just they didn't zero in on it. I think they were a little scared to do that. They probably took a shot of it and went, nah.
Oh my God, I'm so curious if anybody can see it.
Oh my gosh, I'm dying to know.
Second or third season, right?
Well, when did, she was, because then Lindsay comes in after what, like half a season? Was it a full season?
She doesn't come in until like fourth season, dude.
Really? Is that we went that long without
Lily? We had a couple years. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Lily was gone a long time.
Wow.
I thought it was just one season.
I thought so too.
Maybe I'm wrong.
That she was there for one
season? I think she was there for two seasons. And then I think
Lily was gone after the first season.
Really?
Right. Yeah. And then we took a season off.
And then
at least one. I think it was fourth. But I don't know. Okay. You know, I'm sure there are
somebody out there. Exactly. Somebody will pop up.
Easton actually knows all the details.
Well, I have a grandchild who's three turning to four, and I can just picture her at that age. At four to five, going, I don't feel like doing this.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. No, I'm not going to do this. You know, and you go, Yeah.
So try explaining contracts and work to, you know, a 4 or a 5 year old. Like,
Yeah. God bless Chris Kyre. God bless Chris Kyre that first couple seasons, first
Chris
season.
Chris Kyre, who is an upcoming guest of yes. Pod Meets World. We're very
really?
Excited. Yes, we're going to have Chris Kyre on. We're so excited to talk to him.
We can't wait.
So, Betsy,
yes.
You were on Home Improvement before you ended up on Boy Meets World. Can you tell us about how you were cast as Amy Matthews and whether or not Home Improvement and your role there had a hand in it?
It had everything to do with it. Remember, I did have big hair. It was this really great big hair. And yeah. The first episode I did, well, I had auditioned to play Tim's wife.
Okay, and on Home Improvement.
It was there down to three of us. Frances Fisher got cast first. You know, the Frances Fisher, the actress who was married to, what's his name, the big director, actor. And then she was fired because she didn't know how to be funny as a stand, as a backup. You know, she didn't know how to be the straight man.
Right.
So, and that wasn't working with Tim because he was a stand-up comedian and so on. So that didn't work. But there were three of us up for it. They called me back. It was the last three. So then when it came time, when they finally cast Pat Richardson, who was more of this dry delivery, and I was much more Mary Tyler Moore-ish, you know, kind of thing, comparatively. And So they brought Deb Barilsky, who's not one of my best friends, who got me this job, said, what about Betsy for this best friend, Pat, who's a feminist friend who will make fun of Tim for his tools? And I seemed to nail that.
No pun intended.
Oh, that's right. I didn't even try. It was literally no pun intended. Not that clever. But anyway, sure. So I got that part, and it was just such a fantastic episode. One of the funniest ones where Tim, you know, nails glues a piece of wood to his head. And it's just one of the funniest episodes. It won all these awards as the ABC funniest episode of the year or something. So I happened to be featured in that. So that didn't hurt. And then, you know, I stayed on and they liked me a lot. John Pasquin was directing at the time. So Disney's watching me there already. And so then they called me in after 2 years at Home Improvement and said, what do you think? You want to go for this part? They want to see you. And I went, really? I don't know if I want to leave Home Improvement. I really like it here. You know, yeah. I didn't know. And I kind of knew in my bones this was going to be tricky for me because I wasn't going to be featured, you right. know, that the mom wasn't going to be featured and it wasn't like Tim and Pat, you know, it wasn't going to be just the kids and mom, you know, or right. the husband and mom. So it became the mom thing. But anyway, I competed with about 1,000 people, I was told, to get, you know, at least to get this. And I went in three times.
Wow.
They weren't sure. And I was like, well, this really builds my confidence. But it was just one of these things where they just wanted me from the beginning. They somehow fell in love with me from Home Improvement. And they just went, no, there's nobody better than her. So we'll go with that. And that was true. Although I really, you know, struggled to get my lines memorized and stuff like that. But
Betsy, do you remember what the audition scene was? Was it a scene with you and Corey or was it a yes. scene with you and, oh, it was you and Corey.
It was a scene with me and Corey and I was sitting on the bed trying to comfort him about something. What was I doing? Giving him advice about something.
Okay.
Sitting on the bed and wearing baggy clothes. I wore all my own clothes. They dressed me like a camper or something. I don't know. For the first year, and finally they went, what's with her wardrobe, and you know, things like that. But they finally snazzed me up a bit. But
did you read with Ben when you screened, like when you screen tested, did you read with him?
No.
Wow.
No. Did you ever read with the original Alan, Matt McCoy?
No. Matt was cast after me.
Okay.
Really, the only people that were cast for sure was me and Corey and Ryder. We were for sure's, and then you came in. But we changed Matt. We said goodbye to Matt. That was that for Matt. But there wasn't a lot of, I didn't know enough. When Rusty came in, it was like a whole different experience. Like, I know this guy. I've seen him before. Whoa, he's cute. You know, he's really cute. He's kind of tough. You know, guy's guy kind of thing. You know, I don't know.
We talked about the fact that like Amy and Alan were really set up to be different parents. Like, you guys were not the stereotypical dweeby, dorky, butt of the joke parents. You guys were cool and you wore cool clothes and you had hip taste in music. And like, your relationship with each other was very cool and relaxed. And the way you guys parented was also a different style of parenting than we saw on TV at the time. And I wonder, like, that is very much how we see you and Rusty. So we wonder how much of that was really based on them incorporating and writing the characters after who you were as people rather than, you know, trying to fit somebody else into the mold.
You know, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what happened. I just was my being myself. I can be funny. I can be not funny. I can be sad. I can take it personally. I can do all that. But I was always myself. I didn't ever feel like I was playing someone else. And that's what they said. Just be your wonderful self. And I went, oh, God, what's that? How do I play that? I don't know what that is. Playing my wonderful self. It's easier to be evil. I did a movie where I got to be evil. It was a piece of cake. The thing was, is that I just think that that's very much what happened. And Rusty and I had a wonderful chemistry right away.
You did. Yeah, I remember that.
We were both studied with the Sandy Meisner. We both had from the same background. I was still taking classes and stuff while I was still getting started. And so he was just sort of reassuring to me when we saw what worked. We went, well, this is why we work, because we worked off each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we worked with you guys, is because we gave you honestly how whatever you did or said, I'll speak for myself. I think Rusty would call himself more a craftsman. I just take everything personally to a detriment. But you know what? It serves me on camera, right. I think.
So one of my favorite things, if we're starting from early on, one of my favorite things was you. I love all these stories that pop into your head when you're
talking
to somebody. And we were doing the little, we've talked about this on the show before. We were doing our opening title sequence and it was kind of getting little pops of everybody. Okay, Will, you go lie in the bed now. Hey, look up and smile like you're doing this kind of stuff. And I was watching, everyone was watching as you were doing yours and you're sitting there with Ben and
Ben,
you put the Band-Aid on his head and then you walk away and you do a big smile and then they yell cut and you walk over to me. You're like, that's my please watch our show smile. And I'll never forget that. It always stuck with me. And then the first time we saw it together, we were all somewhere where we saw the opening title and you went, yep, there it is. My please watch our show smile.
Yeah, it is. It's shameless, but it we all knew that. Come on.
It worked.
It was perfect. Oh, so funny.
Was that also your first, that like the guys have talked a lot about that first photo shoot being their real first introduction to everybody? Do you remember the first time you met Will and Ryder and what your impressions were of all of us as kids? And then the first time you met me, which was significantly later.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you were all so young. I was just watching the episode of the Santa thing going, my God, we were all so young. My gosh, how the time flies. Will, I met Ben and Ryder. Were you coming? Were you at the table read?
Yeah.
And I was Will, were you? Okay.
No, I got cast later. There was another Eric.
That's right.
Harry something. Harry Branchy.
I didn't bond with him.
Oh, good. Good.
I can't remember who that was. I do remember that I met Ben and Ryder and then his family. So, but anyway, that's when I met you guys for the first time, or this world for the first time. And, you know, it was sort of amazing. In fact, that kind of overshadowed everything else. I don't even remember reading the script. Didn't we read the script? I'm sure we did, because we all auditioned for the same material. So I sort of had it down, you know.
Now, you obviously would have worked with the kids on Home Improvement, although I'm sure your role wasn't necessarily heavily involved with the kids. So was Boy Meets World your first time working with a bunch of kids? And were you nervous? What did you have any concerns going into it?
No. None. I mean, I'm a mom. I have kids. There's nothing scary to me about that. Just, you know, but I had great respect for them. It's just that I wasn't involved in a lot of dialogue with the kids.
Yeah.
There was one where I was babysitting and I told Tim who won the game and it practically killed me. So kind of things like that, but never really, you know, hands on with the kids. So right. I wasn't nervous. No.
Coming into Boy Meets World with all of us.
Yeah, I wasn't worried. I just, you know, I was really taking it one step at a time, just kind of glad I got the job. I wasn't sure I was going to get it for the longest time. So, you know.
So wait, so how long when, you know, the first time you heard of Boy Meets World to the actual table read, how long was the process before you were reading the script?
I feel like it was months or something. I mean, it really took a while because they were auditioning everyone. And right. They were also auditioning everyone, some actors from Chicago. I knew some big names, actually, to play Rusty's part. So, you know, they were really trying to put the right package together. I was told that when we shot the pilot and they do that, you know, I don't know what it's called, where they do an estimation of who loves the show the most.
Like a focus group?
Oh, like a test screening kind of thing?
Yeah, test screening.
Okay.
And I scored rather high. Lily and I kind of scored better than anybody.
That's amazing.
Nice.
Oh, okay, I guess I'm going to keep this job. That's but great. Then it just, you know, became, I was just slipped to the background, of course, after that, you know, not like the same thing.
Well, that leads me to my next question, because we have talked about it a lot, that we're watching episode 110. So we're 10 episodes into the first season, and there have been many very heavy Alan and Corey episodes. Lots of deep stuff for them to go into, and we've talked a lot about the fact that it felt like there were some missed opportunities where some of that could have gone to you, where we could have learned more about you and your backstory. And so do you remember feeling like you were getting the short end of the stick as an actor? And did you ever talk to Michael about it or the other writers about things you wanted to do or how you wanted your character to be involved more?
Oh, I appreciate you asking that because, yes, that was very hard for me.
I bet.
Really hard for me. And I'm the only girl of three boys growing up, so I'm used to that, but not to be, but I did feel, to be honest with you, Michael is a boy and the writers were all boys at first and they didn't know what to do with mom. Mom was not, you know, mom was sort of still in the background serving them, but not necessarily the driving force. They started giving me more episodes where it became a little bit more like like when you tried to run away from home and we had, you know, Juliet there.
Mm-hmm.
Olivia Hussey.
My idol who was terrified.
Yeah.
She
kept it was amazing.
Holding my hand. She was so afraid of the audience. I'm going, see, this makes me look really good. Anyway, I mean, I was like, get my hair really good if she's going to be there. But that's just a side story. But really, it just, at first, it was just really hard for me. I didn't know what to do about it. And at one point, there was some of the humor, some of the stuff just didn't, I didn't get it sometimes. Is that funny? Oh, well, just throw it away. So it just sort of became, I went in and out of being present in the way that I wanted to be. At first, I was much more present. I had much more of a voice and I was active and, you know, there was much more between Rusty and me. Over the years, as you guys got older, it was more fun to see you guys being your geeky selves out there in the world, you know. So it was wonderful. I mean, I had such good relationships with all of you that I wasn't bothered by that. I just didn't think that the guys knew what to do with me. And it was intimidating. So there were times when I, you know, felt intimidated or quiet. And I did talk to Michael at one point when I think it was, I didn't really like it that we ran into you at the hotel. And I thought it was weird.
The prom episode. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, I wouldn't approve of you getting married so young. I still don't.
Yeah.
That's strong. People have strong opinions about that one, left and right.
Yeah. And I just felt like they, you know, trivialized my experience of it until I went, no, you know, I've got a lot to say. And the one that you repeat is so funny when I confront Mr. Feeney across the street and say, I don't approve, you know, and that kind of thing.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Bouqs.com, promo code WORLD.
Bouqs, promo code WORLD.
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember one of the things we've addressed on this show a number of times is the fact that, especially at the beginning, they didn't know kind of the tone of the show for everybody, so they were trying different pairs.
Sure they were.
And at the beginning, we see this in this episode that we're going to talk about later, the 110 that we've been talking about. This is where then it was kind of like Eric and Amy got a little bit of screen time together, which this was the first time I think that ever had actually happened.
We were at the door with her in the bathroom.
That was a great scene.
And it was a great scene, but that also led to, as the show, you know, kind of progressed, you and I had some fun storylines together. Like, you know, when Amy's coming to school with Eric and so they kind of saw something there a little bit. I think from this episode, they saw a little kind of like, oh, this is an interesting pair if you did Eric and Amy. And we had some fun stuff as the show progressed, I thought.
We did. I think so, because you were older, too. And because Ryder and Corey had each other.
Yeah.
In a way. And then Alan was always giving advice and telling everyone what to do. So I watched that scene yesterday, and we're standing at the door with Lily in the bathroom. And I went, oh my God, we look alike.
We do.
We look alike. We both have the same humor. We were rolling our eyes and doing these things just like, what are we? We're mirroring.
That's fun.
And I thought, isn't that interesting? And I, you know, I forgot that was, you were very easy. All of you were easy. Can I just establish that? Because, you know, I had such a love affair with all of you. But you and I, Eric, immediately took off. And remember, like your parents said, you know, watch out for him. I told your parents I'd watch out for you.
I'm sure. I think I was also, I'm the...
For Aaron's age.
Yeah, I was the same age as your son. So it was, you kind of instantly were like, okay, it's that's easy. I gotcha. Yeah. That was very, very simple.
You were much friendlier than he
is. Nice.
He's
but
not
it was.
As impressed with mom as you were.
Betsy, how old were your kids when Boy Meets World started? So you had kids at home, a teenager still at home?
Yeah, I had Aaron at home.
Okay.
And he was a junior when I started. Let's see, what year was it?
93 we started.
Yeah, no, if he was my age, he would have been a junior going 16. Into a senior year of high school. Yeah.
Wow.
And he was not, he underplayed the fact that all his friends went, dude, your mom's hot. Your mom was really hot. He goes, no, she's not. Don't say that. I mean, he hated that.
He hated
that I was funny. And then his friends noticed. They liked to come over a lot. It was funny.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
Betsy, going back to Amy, you know, being a little bit in the background and not having as much meaty stuff to chew on as Rusty did as Alan, we have got to give you so many props, because we have talked about it in every single episode, and Ryder made a really good point one day where he said, you know, we're now rewatching the show as adults. And so we are now recognizing things on the show that when we were kids, we never paid attention to. And this is with absolutely no disrespect. A lot of that was then the stuff that the adults were doing. We weren't paying attention to what the storylines were that were going on with the adults and what the nuances were and how the layers were filling in. We were just thinking about, Where is the hard laugh coming? And those were the things we focused on.
Well, you were taught that. You were directed.
That's true. We were very much taught to that was where the success. That's where the good was. But what we have all recognized in rewatching the show is how incredible the moments are that you and Rusty give, even when you are only in two scenes or even when you only have a few lines. The way you're under
small actors, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, that's
but that's the proof of it. Yeah.
That's exactly the proof of it. The way, like, for example, your performance in Grandma Was a Rolling Stone.
So good.
Where you are making the muffins in the kitchen. And Corey comes down and says, hey, where's Grandma? And you give the tiniest little look and you say, hey, let's bake some muffins. And with just the smallest look, the audience knows
Something bigger is going on. She knows what it is. She's trying to protect him. And the fact that you were able to get it across and just the amount of warmth and like you are such a, you are perfect. You were absolutely flawless. And yeah. So watching you has truly been one of the joys for me of doing this podcast.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, that's really sweet.
We also thought they hugely dropped the ball in that episode, that it would have been a perfect time for her for it to be your mother, Amy's mom.
Yeah.
And not Alan's mom. It would have just added an entire new layer to the thing, given your character more to do. And it was just wasn't done. So, I mean, it was what it was. But that was something we brought up, was like, why? That was a perfect opportunity right there. Like, why not?
Yeah, it was. And it was, you remember, these are boys writing this.
Yeah,
this is Michael's life. There's a lot of it is Michael's experience with mums and grandmas and so on. So, I mean, I'm not blaming him.
Sure. No,
that has something to do with it. I'm going to have to watch an episode. Which one was that called?
Grandma Was a Rolling Stone. It's the one with Rue McClanahan.
OK.
And you are just unbelievable in it. You have a whole scene where you talk about how long you've known her, and you deliver a message with like no shame in your voice, no judgment. It's truly beautiful. Go back and rewatch it and appreciate you as much as we appreciate you.
So nice of you to say.
And in this episode, 110, the Christmas episode, I thought your jokey, laughing, sarcastic, it made me feel seen as a mother, because a lot of the mothers I know are, you know, if this had really happened to their child, would find it impossible to laugh at it. It would be, this is traumatized my child. I'm going to speak to a manager. And you know, it would have been, and you obviously were very concerned about her and you want her to be okay. But also the absurdity of the situation is not lost on you. And the way you come home and tell the story to Rusty and explain it and start laughing, and then the way you and Will at the door are laughing, it is just more of your genius. How much of this episode and your performance in it, of laughing through some of that stuff, was just you, and how much of it do you think was scripted?
Oh, it was totally me. And it was totally Rusty. And the thing was that the reason we went to that was that immediately I'm going, you know, we're acting up. Like I go, what am I doing and what am I wearing? Anyway, I was like, that's boxy thing. But anyway, I go, oh God, that's bigger than life. And then Rusty says, I didn't understand what this meant. And I said, here's what happened. La, 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 la. But I think what you had was Rusty starts laughing. And then I can't help but see the humor in it there, because we're on the same page. And we're baby boomers. Okay. Baby boomers were born in 1950. Baby boomers are hip and cool to the end. You know, we really are, we have a lot more going on for us than our parents' generation in terms of relating to the dramas of the children. I mean, I thought it was perfectly natural to laugh, you know, even though I'm concerned. It was totally, it's what I would have done myself.
It's great. And do you and Rusty both still wear clogs?
It's a fair question. Fair question.
Oh, God. I stopped wearing clogs. They were bothering my toes. But he lived in those things. I just wear flip-flops now. I can't do anything.
I don't know why it's so salient to me that you guys both always wore clogs. It was the cutest thing, because I wondered, did one of you come to set wearing them and then the other person said, I'm also going to get a pair of those? Or did you both just naturally wear those when you met?
Well, there was a fad of earth shoes at a certain point when we were hippies. And so when, you know, young parents or whatever, and you all had these shoes where the back is lower than the top front, and different kinds of shoes that are good for your back or standing on your feet a lot. And the clogs I had were great for that. So it gave me a little height. So I was a little taller than I really am, like that. Made my legs look a little better. But really, we just both wore these clogs, and it was not planned. It just was part of our age group, I just think, to tell you the truth.
It was very different.
Oh,
God, clogs.
What was your relationship with Rusty like? Rusty said that you guys were pretty close and that the four of you with your spouses went to dinner rather often. Tell us a little bit about your relationship.
Oh, it was wonderful. I miss him a lot because I don't get to see him much anymore. But this was just an easy thing. We went mountain biking together, and I suddenly we were mountain biking. I can't believe I was mountain biking, but we were, and I had places to go, and he even moved where I moved because he liked the mountains where we lived. And remember when we had the cast party?
Yeah.
At the house in Montanito and that big house, we finally moved out of that house, but he bought a house over there too. And then, their kids got older. He just had one baby at the time. And so he was behind me in terms of my kids were, like I said, your age. So it was an easy thing. We still are friends. We don't see each other very much, which I miss. It was awkward in a way almost when we came back for Girl Meets World because he was directing and I was just sort of not sure where I fit in. It was kind of weird. So that was just more recently where I just got, I don't know, we're, what our friendship's like anymore. But I adored him. I thought he was so sexy and so fun and such a good actor. And when he got, when he got bossy with me, I just looked at him like, don't go there. Most of the time we were on the same page because we worked off each other.
Yeah.
And they wrote us writing. So that all that flirtatious stuff was really there. I mean, that's what you do as an actor. You play off the person you're
chemistry.
In love with.
And
it works. And it really shows. And everybody, when I do these cameos, they all just think, you guys were really in love, right? Did you date?
Yeah, they believe it.
No,
that's so great.
We never had an affair. No, sorry. We didn't do that.
Well, no, the thing, but again, if we're talking about pairing up, I mean, the parents are the only set pair when the show starts. So it's like if there's not chemistry between that pair, that's not going to be a good. I mean, again, I'm Matt McCoy. I've seen him in a number of things. Is a fine actor. I've seen him and he's done a ton of things for years and years and years. But you and Rusty, the second you're on screen in the pilot episode, I mean, the second you see them, boom, couple. Like you just know right there. It's you had that instantly the couple feel.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you have at least, you might not have had an affair, but did you at least have a little bit of a crush on Rusty? I'm just curious.
A huge crush on him. Huge. But not like out of control. It wasn't like, do I dare? It was never like that. It was just, we had such fun chemistry. There was one time where we had to really kiss and Corey's videoing.
We've seen the episode. Yes.
So the writers, are watching this go down and he says, now, come on, you got to, our director Kim's like, you have to really kiss her because, instead of just this little thing. So I've got a thing of ice cream in my lap and he starts to kiss me and the ice cream starts falling out of the bowl or the container because we're sharing ice cream. And it's like, huh? What? And then we get caught and they come in and they're laughing their heads off going, we need to get the ice cream. And they were all the girls were so envying me to kiss Rusty Russ like that. And it was really great. I'll never forget. It was like those things. And it's embarrassing if you have to kiss a stranger, or I had to do it before. We've all had to do it. But this was embarrassing. But once we got into it, it was like, well, this is what it would be like. I don't know. It just was fun. It's just a fun story when I spilled the ice cream.
That's hilarious.
See, I have a kind of a general question. And because so much of rewatching the show for us and talking about our experience has been you know, just realizing how little experience the three of us had walking onto the set of Boy Meets World. Like, we had nothing really to compare it to.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, how did the set compare to other sets? Or how, what was the community of writers and actors? What was the vibe? I mean, how was it different than Home Improvement? Was it better? Was it more relaxed? Or different theater companies that you had been a part of? Like, in general, what was Boy Meets World like as a set?
Well, I hadn't been in LA that long. I'd been flown out for a pilot, and that's what got us out there, but for something else. But it was very similar. The whole thing is very similar. It's a way they do it. You know, it's commonplace the way things are handled. I didn't notice a big change except for that here I was paid full, you know,
right.
I wasn't just a guest star. And I felt a responsibility about it. I got to stay in Tim Allen's room when we first shot it and things like that. But in terms of the process, did we start right at Disney, or was was it right at Disney? And then we went to MTM after that.
Yeah, it was the first 2 years at Disney, the next 2 years at KTLA, the third 2 years at Radford, and then the last year back at Disney.
Right. You know, it's funny that Radford stands out more than anything else.
That's for me, too, kind of.
Because it's the best one.
It was a great lot. Yeah. It was such a great lot. That was, And we were rolling by that time and all that.
Yeah, and Ellen DeGeneres was losing her temper across the set, the parking lot, I remember.
And Seinfeld was right. I mean, we were right next to Seinfeld, and we shot like our opening title sequence on the Seinfeld New York Street.
And Third Rock from the Sun.
Third Rock was right next to us. And
a lot
it was
of happening.
Yeah, it was awesome. That was a really cool set to be on. Yeah.
Which was great for you guys when you were older and you were kind of, you know, strutting your stuff.
Super hip. Yeah. We were super cool. Yeah.
You're big stars. You all had those fancy cars, and I was still driving my Honda. In fact, I said to you, Will, why is it? I think it was you. I said, why do you have this, whatever you had? You had this fancy.
I probably had the Jaguar at the time.
I was
going
to say the Jaguar,
I'm driving this Honda Civic, you know, and you said, I don't know, why is that, Betsy? Like, well, I have two kids in college, and I have cars. You know, maybe my things trickled off a little more.
It must have been. I was like, I'm 19 and selfish. That's why I have this.
I could have cared less. You know, it wasn't my claim to fame.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeny has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandy shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Bouqs.com, promo code WORLD.
Bouqs, promo code WORLD.
Now, I have a very important question for you, Betsy.
Okay.
Are you team side yard or team backyard?
Oh, geez.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. So the little yard that you guys share with Feeny.
Yeah.
Do you think that yard is the side yard of the Matthews house, or is it the backyard of the Matthews house?
Well, it looks like a side yard.
Oh, excuse
right.
me.
Wait, she said looks.
So it looks like.
I know.
So tiny. Mm-hmm. And there's a, you know, the porch just sort of stops there. You don't know what's beyond there. I would imagine it's a side yard and then it goes around to the front.
Hmm. Interesting.
I've never thought this before. This is the first time anyone's asked.
So let me lob something at you. What about the fact that the front door is directly opposite the back door that leads to the backyard?
Let me try to change your mind, Betsy.
Listen, she said she's just thinking about it. We're trying to present both sides.
Well, could it be that the front door is on the other side, and that's the front yard that takes you to the side yard?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just don't think it's the backyard.
All right. Well,
wow.
I'm sorry.
Will, congratulations. You've drafted Betsy to your team.
I am not. It's not a team. It is just, I don't, I think we can all agree it's a strangely designed home.
I think it may be a corner lot.
That's hey.
So that's
maybe
it.
We're both right. Maybe we're
that's
both
it.
Right.
It's a corner lot. That's
there's
what it
not
is.
Enough compromise in the world anymore. Maybe we're both right, Danielle.
Listen, I'm totally fine with both of us being right. It also it is also team. It makes no sense.
Exactly. Like, this is like every exactly. political argument I've ever had with Will is like, well, no, everybody's wrong or everybody's right.
Yes,
this is the classic Will. I'm like always very strong about something. And then Will, you're always like, no, everybody's an idiot or everybody's
everybody's
genius.
about you, Will.
Exactly.
About you.
You know what it is? I think it's that I had two older brothers that did, they get along great now, but didn't always get along. So I was the one who was like, hey, you know what? Maybe you're both right.
Or both wrong.
Or both wrong. Maybe it's all shades of gray and there is no one answer to anything. You know,
Betsy,
who knows?
How often are you still
about me now, Will? What is it?
Are you still recognized all the time for being
always, always?
Oh, that's so cool.
Wow.
And I love it. People come up and thank me all the time for being the example of a perfect mom.
Yes.
And wife and family and how they were raised this. I say, well, I did raise you, and they go, yes, you did. They really feel that. I mean, I watched Father Knows Best. I watched Leave It to Beaver. I watched all these things, but I never felt like Donna Reed didn't raise me. I didn't feel like that. My mother was pretty wonderful. And I also had three brothers, and we all sang. And I came from a family that wasn't stereotypical in the sense that we weren't always dependent on the TV to define ourselves, is what I'm going to say.
Sure.
Dad was scary. Dad was scary. I would have liked my dad to be more like Rusty. I think that would have been better.
Well, you really were like you were a perfect mother. I think the way the character was written had a little bit to do with it, but it wasn't
I give them a lot of credit.
It wasn't even them, though. It's so much of it is who you are.
Yeah, it's your presence.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're so grounding.
Thank you. That is very, very sweet to hear. And actually, I feel that I was. And when I watch it, I go, I don't like that outfit, but, pretty good. I'm not gonna look like I'm acting, a little bit. At first, you're kind of trying to find your, like that little humor thing. You're trying to overdo, you do it out a little bit too big. But overall, I think that when you asked me if I talked to Michael about feeling left out or underappreciated or underwritten, and I did go to him about that, but it was not until the very end. It wasn't until after we did the scene where I come to class.
Yeah.
And I think Michael wasn't there or something, and we did it without him. And I thought, well, this is finally, they're kind of giving me something to talk about. And so I went to Michael. I think it was during the time where I didn't approve of running into you at the hotel or something. I felt, I don't feel like people, my friend said, gee, you don't have a lot to do, or, don't have a lot to say, at different times over the years. And I said, that's kind of bother me. So I went to Michael about it. And he said, I don't think people take what I feel or think seriously enough. I think the woman's voice here is not being heard. But it took me years to get the courage up to do that.
Yeah.
And he said, everyone loves you. And I said, well, that's nice. That's great. But I'm not sure you're really getting that. I think that altered his thinking a little bit about how things were done after that. But it wasn't until really years later where I watched something that we were doing and I went, not that bad in this. I'm not as bad in this as I thought, just because I didn't have a lot to do, I underestimated and I went, oh, not bad. And he said, you were wonderful. You made it happen. You did. It's just that he didn't want to take responsibility for the fact that the woman didn't have a voice in the same way that by then I should have had.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I did address it, but it was a little too late to,
Yeah, which is it's strange because every time there was something where Amy had more to do, it was great. It was, it really was. It was, I can't wait to get to some of the later episodes again. I keep going back to that one where you and I had to share you were going back to college and you were reading about, I'll never forget that. It was the episode where you come in and you read about your first physical experience, your first sexual experience, and you're reading it to Eric's class in college. And it's Eric going, God, my mommy's talking about it. And it was just, it was so fun. And there was something, sometimes you connect characters that shouldn't work very well together and they just work great. And, they did that with Eric and Feeny at one point. But I thought Eric and Amy were that same way, where it was like when they kind of hooked us up, the characters really meshed well together. So I can't wait to kind of get to those episodes.
I'm going
to
go back and watch the whole thing.
You should. That's what we're doing. That's the plan.
Great you're doing this, you guys. This is so fun.
Thank you. Thank you for coming up with the idea for us to do this.
Yeah, this is amazing, Betsy, for you to come up with this
you
idea.
You did. You came up with the idea, and it was after a con all. In 2018. So thank you. Betsy, do you have any favorite, behind-the-scenes stories or memories you'd like to share? No, you hated all of it.
No, it can be from Home Improvement.
Sure.
No, I have to think for a minute. Ask me something else and it'll come to me. Because okay. I keep some of the behind the scenes stuff. But
the ice cream story is great.
That's yeah. right. Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you another question. What okay. was your first impression of Bill Daniels and how did your relationship with Bill evolve over the years?
Good question.
I was awestruck because I'd seen him do 1776 on Broadway. So, I mean, wow. I was already, plus I loved him in, St. Elsewhere? Or not, mm-hmm. was it St. Elsewhere?
Yeah.
St. Elsewhere, yeah.
I loved him in everything. And so I felt an immediate affinity to his theatricality, his musical experience. Ooh. So we actually hit it off pretty darn well. I was a little intimidated because he had strong opinions about things, but overall, we hit it off pretty well. We liked each other. Yeah, it was nice.
One other thing we want to talk about, which we haven't addressed yet, is you were, and are still a phenomenal singer.
Incredible musician, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how...
It was cool in this episode, too. They brought in the piano. I bet you that was because of you, right?
Oh, I'm
that
sure.
Must have been... Is it Jingle Bells? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well, I mean, were you all the whole talking about,
I remember backstage, you and Ben especially, always singing musicals, always talking about musicals. Yeah, you were such a musical
Were you still
person.
Singing as you were doing Boy? I mean, were you going out and doing, you were doing cabaret stuff too, weren't
I
you?
I did my club acts, yeah. I did two club acts, my second one I liked the best, but I did two and I went to, it was the Cinegrill was the second one on at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel.
Because we went. You invited all of us. And
I invited you all to the first one. And I don't know if it was the second one or the first one. But anyway, that's who I am.
So what came first, singing or acting?
Well, I started singing at birth. You know, I mean, my family, and I say this proudly, I have an incredible set of pipes. We inherited my father's voice and I can sing opera and I can sing show tunes and I just, you know, had an instrument that saved me when I had went through geeky times. At least I had that, you know. So I think it's part of my identity. And so in a way, when I work as an actress, now that I think of it, especially with this, there's a musicality to me about it. It wouldn't be surprising if he went, oh, she can sing. Go, duh. You know, just the way I talk and, you know, stuff like that. But no, singing was my whole life. And my singing growing up, being the only girl and the youngest of three boys, they were all singing too. So we had a lot to do together. But when often during the growing up stages, I was just in the backseat singing away to myself all the time. And now our granddaughter was visiting from Sweden this a couple of weeks ago. That Aaron and his family moved to Sweden. I don't know if I told you that, which, you know, freaked me out. But anyway, they came to visit for 4 weeks and she's now this three going on four. And she's in love with this new character that from TV, it's not Lion King, but it's this Mahunta or whatever her name is, Mahoya.
Moana.
Okay. And she sits back there in the car seat, just all by herself. And it's, and I went, that's what I did. Mm-hmm. And I kept myself company.
Aww.
I kept myself company by my voice. Just singing was a way for me to know I was there.
That's cool.
Sometimes I wasn't so sure. Still not so sure. But I miss it.
What do you think Amy and Alan would be doing now? What do you think now, 30 years after we first met them, what do you think your relationship would be like and what do you think you'd be up to now?
Well, I think it would probably be rather similar to the way we are in real life. I think because we're both very outdoorsy, we'd probably buy a camper and get one, you know, maybe the new, it begins with an S.
Van?
It's an S word. It's smaller. Sprinter? What?
The Sprinter van?
No, it's like one word, like Spanx, except not Spanx. Control top thing. But it's like that. I'll think of it. And it's just, you know, to haul that around and just go everywhere within the mountains, go fishing, go traveling and touring and so on. And I don't see us, Alan and Amy, of having a ton of money. but we'd saved up a bit of retirement money. We could do that and, you know, have a good time together.
I love it.
Luckily, Spanx aren't that expensive. So the two of you could easily fit and travel the country in Spanx.
No, it's not that expensive. What is it called? Oh, shit. Okay. This is the thing about getting older. I'm 72 and it's like my memory.
Are you? You do not look 72.
No, not
amazing.
At all.
Thank you. God.
Wow.
So I want to, all of our listeners are going to want to know where they can see you now, where they can find you. In 2020, you did an amazing movie called Painter. That was a total departure from the Amy Matthews character. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that and then also where we can find you now?
Well, right now I'm here.
Not right this minute.
Thing, you know, so I audition occasionally for stuff and doing these self tapings, which, you know, I'm never quite sure I'm doing very well. But I do that. But Painter was the surprise that came to me. And I was shocked that it came out so well. I didn't know what the heck. It was a low budget movie. But I'm so proud of it because they just made a big to-do when I had, after it premiered, I was on the radio, all the radios all over the country going, was it really hard for you to break away from Amy Matthews to this? I said, not at all. It was not hard at all. This was easy. This was so simply clear. I mean, as an actor, if you know what you want, you just go for it and you don't even... you're not concerned about anything else. It's just, I had a mission and I get a crush on this boy. And I didn't have a real big crush, not like with Rusty, but
sure.
He was younger than my son and I had to kiss him and sit in the bed and lean over and kiss him. And I don't know, oh, son's all right with this. But other than that, you know, really it was, I'm very proud of Painter. If you haven't seen it, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. But it was such that when we did the screening, John was sitting next to me and we were done and everybody was going, oh my God, we were all clapping and everything like that. And John said, I'm a little afraid to drive home with you.
That's so cool.
That's how you know you did it well. That's how you know you did it well.
I scared him. That's and my great. Brother said, oh, we saw mom in there. We saw this. We know that side of you. I went, yeah, my kids know that side too.
Wow.
That's pretty mean. But I was also in love and it was a really nice way to play both things. I didn't judge myself, but you don't judge your character. So, as far as I was concerned, I was justified. Just playing, it's like doing Amanda and Glass Menagerie that I did at the Taper, and I was in heaven because I was doing Tennessee Williams and I was playing Amanda in Glass Menagerie. And you never judge your character. He wrote so well, I didn't have any issues of how to do it. It's because I just thought this. As far as I'm concerned, I'm right. I know everything. And in a way, I think I use that same thing in Boy Meets World, too. I think that on a much less dramatic level, there's a certain thing that just says, I know what's best, and you'll just have to come around.
That sounds a lot like Will.
Very similar. Very similar. Yes.
Very similar. It doesn't mean I don't want to please people. I do. It's a terrible thing. But I want to be liked. But when it comes... right down to it, to my husband or people, I just pretty much sure that I'm the right one. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Betsy, thank you so much for coming on the pod with us today. And I hope that you know how loved and appreciated you are by every fan of Boy Meets World, but especially the three of us here on this podcast. And we hope that you feel like you are given more shine on this podcast, certainly than you were in maybe some of the earlier seasons or any of the seasons of Boy Meets World, because you are just so appreciative. We are so appreciative of you and you are so appreciated. So thank you for coming on and letting us chat with you.
We love you, Betsy.
This has been such an honor. I adore you all. I miss you. And I wish we could see each other more often. So keep me in touch. Okay?
Yeah. Yes, we will. And
I love you so much.
We love you. Thank you. Okay, go cry. Love you, Betsy.
Bye, Betsy.
Bye. Okay. Bye, darlings.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Nonstop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeny has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Bouqs.com, promo code WORLD.
Bouqs, promo code WORLD.
Oh,
man,
my gosh.
Made Betsy cry.
She just so cried at the end. What happened?
Yeah, I don't know. My first TV mom, though. She was my first TV mom ever.
Hmm.
That's the coolest thing in the world. And she was, because my parents were both lawyers, so they stayed in Connecticut, obviously, when I came out and did Boy. And Betsy jumped right into that, like, I gotcha. And my mom did say to her, like, can you watch out for him? And she did. And it was and I would go to dinner at their house, and I got to know her kids really, really well. And she's an amazing woman. She is absolutely an amazing woman. So I'm so happy.
You know what I love is, and like, it's totally beyond the purview of this podcast. So we can't really go into it. But I like when she throws out, like, you know, when I did Tennessee Williams at the Mark Taper Forum, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I, you know, like it's you know, same thing with Bill Daniels, obviously, and Rusty. It's like when Rusty's like, I was with Mind Troop in Scotland. Yeah. I just want like to
whole another episode.
Yeah. It's just that these were great actors. You know, these were professional actors in a way that we couldn't be because we were so young, you know, we just sort of showed up and we were kind of figuring out what it means to be an actor in the process of Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
Whereas these were full on professional actors who had dedicated their entire lives to this
to the
art
craft.
Form that we totally took for granted, right?
Yep.
Like
we did
not recognize, we were just sort of like, this is fun and this is easy. And I'm just now now that I'm their age, when they started our show, I can see how much life experience they were bringing and how much more life experience they were having. And I just love the craft of acting. I just think it's so fascinating. And I love talking to actors
about it. Especially the way they did
it.
Especially the way they did it. It was, I feel like that's, you know, everyone's always saying, like, why is every huge movie star and everything, every huge television star, they're all British. They're all Australian. They're all, and it's because they still study the craft.
Yes.
Whereas we in America,
a great
it's
approach to acting.
Still,
yeah.
Yes,
American,
they do.
American school of acting is completely broken.
It is complete because there isn't one. It's pick up your phone and become an Instagram star and then get a television show.
Yep.
That's, I mean, there are exceptions. Of course, there are exceptions. But for the most part, the reason why everybody's British and Australian is because they still study the craft of acting.
Yes.
So it's still an art form that is one that needs to be delved into and strip yourself away and built on. And that nobody wants to, you know, nobody wants to do that on this side of the pond anymore.
No.
And they all did. That's what, so when you actually get to talk to them and they're talking about how they were Meisner students and, you know, Bill never told us that he was a child actor when we were there with him.
Crazy.
He's working with child actors and because he's like, we don't need to get into that. Be an actor. And it was just, it's nuts to now, because you're right. I'm older now, I think, than everybody but Bill was when they did Boy.
Yeah.
And so to look back on that and go like, I still haven't studied the craft of acting the way I should have. You know, it's like, what the, it's a whole different thing. What can you do? What can you do?
Well, this was really fun. I love these little reunions we get to do. They bring me like truly so much joy. So
when we finish season one of this podcast,
3 years from now,
I really think it's important for us to have like our own reunion where we just invite everybody who's been a guest on the show.
Yeah.
You know, I'll host it at my house. We'll have it in my backyard. But I just like, not only do I want to have a casual non-recorded conversation with everybody, I also want everybody to see each other again.
Yeah.
You know,
course,
like
yeah.
Like Lee Norris. I mean, when was the last time he talked to Betsy or, you know, it's like, it would be so great. I mean, obviously Lee's not living in California anymore, but
we'd fly him out.
We can get.
Yes.
I just want to have a reunion, like, and I want to get everybody in the same room because it's just so, it'd be so nice to see
everybody. We should. That's a great idea.
We should plan that.
Yeah.
We've got time. We're on episode 10 now. We've got until like episode 21 or 22. We've got a little bit of time, but let's plan it. Let's pick a date and start sending out invitations so that Lee can fly out with his family and we can actually do it. But I think that's really important.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that.
We'll take a picture and post it on our Instagram.
Good.
Right.
Thank you all for joining us. This has been Pod Meets World. You can follow us at Pod Meets World Show on Instagram. And please continue to send us your emails at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And as I mentioned, don't forget your merch.
Merch.
You can get your own Too Much shirt like I'm wearing now on podmeetsworldshow.com. And next episode, later this week, we are going to be recapping episode number 110.
Santa's Little Helper.
Yeah, Santa's Little Helper. Thank you very much. It originally aired December 10th, 1993. Looking forward to that. So join us for that episode. See you all later.
We love you all. Oh, is it you? Me? Go ahead.
No, you. Go.
We love you all. Pod dismissed. Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production, Danielle Romo. Producer and editor, Tara Sudbach. Producer, Lorraine Ruiz. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan, Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon. Follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward.
Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy.
Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303 mile range, available two-way charging and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.